Church, and thank you for coming out this day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. Take your red pad, sign it. If anyone on your row, pass it down. Have a record of your attendance. We have a new secretary, Lynn Garvey. She's going to be working in the church from 9 to 2 on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So mark that down so you'll know. Bill, who's been reading our scripture, is out of town, and he and his wife, for about 6 weeks, asking people to sign up for scripture readers during that time and beyond. So sign-up sheet at the back. So I will send you the scripture at the first of the week, and you can practice and come up, and you don't have to give any introduction to it. Just go up and just read the scripture, and we'd love to have you so we can do this all year round. We'd love to have some younger people read also, older people too, middle-aged, anyone, male, female, would love to have you read, be a part of the service. And Valley Garden starting up, if you'd like to be a part of it, you must sign up and return the form this week to Kathy Seggy as soon as possible. And gardeners, be looking for emails about the garden. VBS, teachers and helpers, please sign up in the back by next Sunday if possible. They are in need of elementary, grade 1 to 3, preteen 4 to 6, and recreation. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please sign up or talk to Kathy about it. And that's being held July the 14th through the 18th at 6:30 in the evening. And here's a new announcement. I'm going to read this one. Any questions or requests for repairs on church property, please fill out a repair form located in the table in the narthex. Place completed forms on the table, and Lynn, the secretary, will contact Jim Teggy about your request. Thank you. So we think this will be a much more efficient system, because you tell someone about something, they forget it, sometimes two or three or four people come up. So fill out a form, leave it back there, and do what we can to help. And notice Sandy has a new phone number, put that in your directory. And that's pretty much it. I want to remind you or tell you, General Assembly, we're a Presbyterian Synod. General Assembly starts meeting on the 14th and go on for about 10 days. They'll be doing issues. It meets every 2 years. There's some issues that are not controversial at all, like for me, like requiring seminaries to teach evangelism. That should have been a requirement from day one. There are all kind of other issues about disinvestment from fossil fuels. It can be controversial, disinvestment from like Caterpillar and our pension fund, because they are helping Israel, and there's a conflict between the Arabs and Israelis about marriage, what constitutes a marriage. So you can keep up with it. I wrote my Valley article about it and gave you some links. But very easily, you can just Google PCUSA.org, and it'll take you to all these things. And there's even a live stream that you can watch General Assembly as it happens. Sit there all day if you want to and watch it. So any questions you want to talk to me, feel free to contact me about it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it on this wonderful Pentecost Sunday. Our hymn of praise, 256. He is here, he is here. Continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe you are the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate your presence with us on this Pentecost Sunday. Forgive us for not using your Spirit to spread the gospel. Forgive us for not living better lives. Remind us that you are with us in everything we do. Help us to remember that you have provided for our salvation. You also have empowered your church for action. Teach us how to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic.
a moment and greet one another. Responsive reading, Unity 664 in your hymnals. Unity. The Bible calls for it. Every church needs it. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion,
then make our joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Call the elder on the door for the prayer and praise requests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I missed the red memo this morning again. I have a prayer request from Carol and John Kane for Bill and Stephanie Schuyler. Traveling mercies for them as they are on vacation. A prayer request from Kathy Sagey for Jean Belimarvich, just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She is still in the testing phase, and may the test results and cancer treatment plan offer some hope, and may the Lord provide her with peace and comfort. Another prayer request from Tom and Mabe for Anne. They're asking for prayers for a friend, Anne, who is starting cancer treatment. A prayer request from Patty Hall for Bruce Gregory and family. Continued prayers for Bruce and his family as he continues to wait for the biopsy of his liver, mass on his lung. He has an appointment on Thursday and was released from the hospital. And we have a praise request from Mike Love. Thank the Lord for the birth of our newest grandbaby, Benjamin Thomas Love.
As we go to the Lord, let's remember the General Assembly. If they meet, that they will be led by the Spirit, not by their own selves, their own mind, their own ambitions, what they personally think is best, but what God desires. That's one of the hardest things to do. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this Pentecost Sunday, being reminded of the day that the Holy Spirit fell upon the church in Jerusalem. Filled people with your Holy Spirit. People began to speak in other languages and others could hear. It was a wonderful and a mighty day. But remind us that that was not just a one-time event. You fill us with the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We become endued with your power. Remind us that we need to tap into it, realize it, read our Bibles, and begin to pray in earnest. Help us to be the best men, women, boys, and girls that we can be. Help us to seek unity within Glenshaw Valley Church that we can accomplish the mission that you have given to us to be the best church that we can possibly be. We lift all these prayer requests up to you this morning, touching everyone's lives, healing them, helping them, bringing them comfort, letting them know that you stand beside them and with them through every trial and tribulation, every hurt, every pain, every tear, every moment of anxiety. And we pray for our General Assembly that they will make your decisions. We realize that at times when so many people meet together and national issues, there is contention. There was in the early church. But we ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to listen to your voice at General Assembly, but also at Glenshaw Valley, in all leadership, and in our daily lives, each and every one of us, to be attuned to what you're saying to us and calling us to do. We thank you for Jesus, everything that he has done for us, and sending the Holy Spirit back. We're also thankful for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song. I think a very beautiful song. Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness. Thank you. beginning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers your church, that touches our lives and brings things to our remembrance, that helps us spread the gospel and gives us the courage to love one another and be good and to seek unity within the church. Help us to do that. Remind us who we are and what we're called to do. And thank you for all the gifts that come to us that we are able to use for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Last week, Paul read the scripture. This week, Sherry is reading. Thank her for her willingness.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews of every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came toward them in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen.
When Sherry saw the scripture I picked out, she almost transferred her membership. You read that better than I have ever read it. God bless you. You certainly did. And don't let that one scare you for signing up. I just couldn't get away from that one. Pentecost Sunday, and that is the scripture. So, a well-known author and preacher, Fred Craddock, tells a rather funny story about a lecture he was giving a few years ago when he was on the West Coast at a seminary. Just before his first lecture, one of the students stood up and said, "Before you speak, I need to know, are you Pentecostal?" The room grew silent. Craddock said he looked around for the dean of the seminary, but he was nowhere to be found. He wanted help. The student continued with his quiz right in front of everybody, and Craddock was taken aback, and so he said, "Do you mean, do I belong to the Pentecostal church?" He said, "No, I mean, are you Pentecostal?" Craddock said, "Are you asking me if I'm charismatic?" The student said, "I am asking you if you are Pentecostal." Craddock said, "Do you want to know if I speak in tongues?" He said, I want to know if you are Pentecostal. Craddock said, I don't know what the question is. The student said, obviously, you are not Pentecostal, and he left. Is the church supposed to use the word Pentecost only as a noun, or can it be used also as an adjective? And so I ask, are you Pentecostal? Is Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian a Pentecostal church? In spite of the fact that the church doesn't know what the adjective means, the church insists that the word remain in the vocabulary as an adjective. The church is unwilling for the word simply to be a noun to represent a date, a place, an event in the history of the church that took place once. The church insists that the word is an adjective and it describes the church. If the church is alive in the world, it is Pentecostal. And you all thought we were just Presbyterians. How do we keep this aliveness, this fire burning? How do we keep the Spirit moving among us? What must exist in us, around us, and through us if we are truly to be Pentecostal? I think there's three things. First, we are to have a sense of unity within the church, and are to be in one accord, as another version says. When the day of Pentecost came, we learned that apostles were all together in one place. It was the day that Christ had promised, beginning with Easter. The resurrected Christ had appeared at various places to his disciples. They knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was the eternal living Lord. Now he had ascended to the Father, and they waited in expectation, not really knowing exactly what they were waiting for. How could they possibly have known that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was about to descend upon them with power and authority? The result would be the beginning of the church, and Pentecost became the primal fact of church history. They received on that day God's power. This power comes on a day when they were in one accord. That's the King James Version. In other words, there was unity and there was agreement. There was commonality among them. They shared all things in common. It's important to note that it would not be that way forever. Later, a major split would occur in the church over who should get in, who should be allowed to be a Christian. Do you have to be Jewish to be a Christian? Do you keep the old laws? It has been said that Peter and Paul came out fighting, and it's been going on in the church ever since. But in the early days, there was one accord. Would you be surprised if I told you there are several congregations close by in this town who have a reputation, well-deserved, of constant infighting among the people? You never know how these things get started, but they end up creating a very poisonous atmosphere within the church body. Sometimes people love their ideas more than they love Jesus Christ. Nothing takes the place of community. If we expect great things to happen, then we must be of one accord. We must find a sense of peace. We must find unity within our church. Secondly, for this one, I have to dip back into chapter 1, verse 14. We're told they all joined together constantly in prayer. Do you know where the church is growing the fastest? Somebody says, well, of course, the United States of America, with all our churches and TV evangelists and all that, and radio. But no, it's Korea, Africa, Latin America, China. For some years now, these have been massive revivals taking place in these countries. As the Korean ministers, and they will tell you that prayer is a cornerstone of their revivals there. Korean church, Southern Korea, is really growing. While it's true that churches that are together in one accord can accomplish so very much with their sense of unity, no church can be truly Pentecostal if it does not take time to pray. Devoted prayer. And it seems to me that much of the church has lapsed into a weekly routine of coming to church, hearing a sermon, singing some songs, and then going our way and almost forgetting that we are the church of Jesus Christ not just when we're gathered on Sunday morning, but when we go back out into the world. Maybe we've lost our desire to dedicate ourselves to prayer, expecting the Holy Spirit to move in our presence and do everything for us. A poem by an unknown author speaks of this. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I just didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. And he answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. If we are to come into God's presence, then we must ask him to come into our presence. So we have a need to pray in order to get God to order our lives individually, as families, and for the church. I wish everyone would pray for the church service and the church every week, especially Sunday mornings before you even come to church. But there's another reason. I think it's the greater reason. I want to read what the president said about our nation. "We have been the recipients of the greatest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated and unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. We should be moved then to humble ourselves before God, to confess our national sins and pray for clemency and forgiveness." The president said this on April the 30th, 1863. Abraham Lincoln said those words, proclaiming a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Our need for prayer has not changed. Nations as well as individual people stand in need of prayer. Prayer for guidance, prayer for deliverance, prayer to shape each and every one of us into people of integrity. If we are to be Pentecostal church, we need to repent. If there's a moral crisis in the life of a person, he must repent. If there's a moral crisis in the event of a nation, it must repent. If there is a moral crisis in the life of a church, she must repent. Pentecost is possible only when sin is adequately dealt with. Peter, the church's first leader, he understood this concept. In the very first sermon of the church, Peter reminded them of their worst, most heinous error. He said, "God was at work through Jesus, but you handed him over, put him to death, nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the right hand of God." He then repeated accusation one more time in verse 36. He said, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When he had finished giving his sermon, which takes up the last half of chapter 2, the people ask of him, "What shall we do?" His response, "Repent." It is the basic requirement for entrance into the kingdom. But what is repentance? For those first believers, it was simply this: changing their mind about everything, about their religion, about their God, realizing their error, accepting the one that they had once condemned to death, becoming what they once ridiculed, receiving Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, being born again. That, my friends, is true repentance. And it is not change. It is by act that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit this very day. Through unity, through prayer, through repentance, we can harness the power of the Holy Spirit and use it not for our glory, but for the glory of God's kingdom and God's church. So let me ask you, are you Pentecostal? Are we a Pentecostal church? And no, you don't have to speak in tongues to be Pentecostal, so don't let that scare you. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 252, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
Sense of revival. Feel that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, God's power, spread into the world, and love, dedicating yourself to your Lord Jesus Christ, and sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people can be forgiven, they can be healed, and they can have eternal life. May you go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.